Joshi gave a very strong presentation. I've given some comments which I think may be of some help to us. Although we should not criticize any devotees, but we should learn some things so that we can improve and we present Krishna conscious philosophy. I felt the beginning was a little hasty because he is presenting first time. The introduction should be a little slow so that people can understand what are all the things that we are going to say. Huh? And there was very good clarity in his speech. The question answers were really very wonderful. And the presentation was quite philosophical. That's my feeling, because Santosh Joshi himself is very philosophical. So it was very philosophical. It could be presented with little more colorful examples and things like that in order to make it easy to digest. So these are some of the observations I made. And questions are also very advanced today. I don't know how can I cover up the questions. Maybe we can touch upon some of the points. To begin with, I feel very strongly that it is important to have a sound understanding of shreyas and prayas. When we talk of prayas, the short-term goal, the whole world is after the short-term goals only. Like the philosophy of eat, drink and be merry. Do not think only the people in the modern times, the modern atheistic people, have this philosophy. Even in India, long ago, thousands of years ago, atheistic people lived. And there was one such atheist called as Charvak. So he proposed the philosophy. He said, Hrinam kritva hritam pidet, yavad jivet sukhan jivet. Dasmin bhuta se dehas, kutah punaragamana bhavet. He said, as long as you are alive, why do you bother about what is going to happen after death? As long as you are alive, just get ghee. Somehow or other. Either you buy it, purchase it if you have money, otherwise you borrow it from someone, or you even steal it from somebody. And you make very nice foodstuffs in ghee, and you eat and be satisfied. Hrinam kritva hrinam means you can even take a debt for buying ghee, he said. Yava jivet sukham jivet, as long as you are going to live, be a happy man, eat, drink and be merry. And after this body is finished, who knows what's going to happen. So this is the kind of consciousness majority of the people have in this world. Those who are completely focusing their attention on the quick pleasures which they get in their life. This we call as prayas. And shreyas means an intelligent person who thinks about those incidents in his life which are going to happen at a later time. That is intelligence. Like somebody may be making a plan for the retirement, isn't it? You all are now so young, 20 years or 19 years. But then as soon as you get a job, if you are intelligent, you will make some retirement plan, you will put some money in that. Because you know that you have to grow old. Nobody is going to remain a young man throughout life. You have to, after 40 years, you will be an old man. So you start putting money for right from now. By the time you grow 60, every month you can get 10,000 rupees from the bank. Isn't it? You can be a very happy man at that time. So you make some retirement plan scheme and you work for that. Similarly, we always take very great care in our life whenever we do things, like you buy a house. Do you just blindly buy a house and pay the money to a person who buy a 20 lakh rupees? And in no time. But then you may be thrown out in the same speed, isn't it, if you don't have proper papers. So you know that I have to have proper papers, which are valid papers, and the seller is not cheating me. Nowadays they even give duplicate papers. They cheat also nowadays. So you want to be extra careful when you buy things like that. So this is actually stress. That means one doesn't quickly act. One doesn't act by his instinct. Rather one acts by mature thinking. So if you see the number of goats standing in the line, and all of them are being slaughtered one after other. You must have seen in a slaughterhouse. These poor goats, they never think about getting slaughtered. They are so satisfied with the fresh green grass supplied to them. Now that they are getting green grass, they don't want to think of anything else. Right now, just do it. Right now, whatever you get, just do it. This is their philosophy. Philosophy of goats, and all those goats, goat-like human beings, who say, just do it. That means now you are getting pleasure, just do it. Don't think about the consequences. So this is also prayers. That means one doesn't think of what's going to happen to me after a little bit of time. The goats are going one after other in the line, and now they are being fed with green grass and they are nodding their head and very happily eating. But then when you go there is a great mission. It cuts the head. Similarly, we are all going to die one day, and we should be inquisitive to know what's going to happen after death and what is the meaning of life. So Shreyas means one doesn't worry about what's going to happen in the future. He says, let whatever one has to come in my life, let it come, I don't mind. An intelligent person, he asks this question of Shreyas. He thinks in long term. That is real maturity. So when Arjuna was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he used this word Shreyas. He told Krishna, yat Shreyas yanishtitam bruhitam ne chishyastehum shadhimam tam prapannam. This Shreya word has so much deep meaning in this particular verse. Arjuna means many, many things when he uses the word Shreya. What he says is, Krishna, tell me, yat Shreya san nishitam bruhitam ne. Tell me what is best for me to do. What is the best course of action in this hour of crisis? I am your Shishya surrendered unto you. That means Arjuna is admitting that I am in a beggarly condition now, and I do not know what is correct, whether to kill these Kauravas or not kill them. And if I kill them out of anger, then later on I may cry, that I cried my own relatives and friends. And if I don't kill them, I am foregoing my duty. I am not fulfilling my duty as a Kshatriya. So I am in a bewildered state. Out of these two, I do not know which is better for me to do. And you being my spiritual master, you know what is best course of action. So you tell me what is the Shreya for me. Like this Arjuna asked. So in the same way, other people have some slight understanding of this Shreya, long-term goal of life. They don't have a clear-cut understanding of what is the Shreyas. In the Shastras, there is a difference set between Kripana and a Brahmana. Kripana means a conjuice or a miser. Brahmana means Brahma Janati to Brahmana. One who is the knower of the jewel of truth and one who is following the scriptural injunctions. Now this Kripana is called as a miser for a particular reason. You know why? Not that he is storing a lot of money in his bureau and locking it. It's not called as a Kripana because of that. He is wasting the human form of life that is awarded to him. Human life we get along with grave responsibilities. The Shastras say, human body is not generally awarded to any living being very easily. After millions of species of life, after passing through them, one comes to the stage of achieving a human body. And this is actually awarded by the material nature. Karmana devane prena jantar deho patattu, it is said. And material nature is awarding you once a human body and checking how are you using that body. And in human body, it is said the human body is like a solid boat. And the soul is now residing in such a solid boat, and this material world is compared to a vast ocean. And the Guru is considered to be an expert captain who can row this boat towards the seashore and help us to get out of this ocean. And all the facilities awarded in the human body are compared to the favorable breezes. That means the human intelligence, the spiritual acumen you have, that is very useful for rowing the boat towards the seashore. And spiritual master is guiding like that. So this is the responsibility of a human being, to become self-realized in this very lifetime. Otherwise, one loses the opportunity of human body and again back to animal body again. And we do not know how many more lifetimes we have to take again to come back to the human body. That is one thing. Another thing is, in human life, if you are not working for self-realization, then the material nature will force you to work very hard like animals. If you see animals, sometimes people say, poets write poems. How nice it will be if I become a sparrow in the tree. How nice it will be. They write poems like that, but you become a sparrow and see how much they struggle to get their prey. It is not very easy. If you see a street dog or if you see a sparrow, In order to get their food, they have to struggle hard. Their economic requirements are fulfilled only under unpleasant conditions, nasty conditions. They have to really bite each other and cut each other in order to get their food. It is so horrible. In the same way, if a human being forgets the purpose of life, which is self-realization, he forgets that, then he also comes down to the animal platform. Then because he is in animal platform, how are his economic requirements fulfilled? By? How? By fighting like animals. That is why we find so much fights and quarrels going on in the material world. Because if you are staying in a human platform, there is no need of fight. Because you will earn only that much amount of money that is required for one's sustenance. As it is explained, kamasya na indriya pritir labo jivete yavata jivasya tatra jignasa narpa yascheha karmabhi. It is said one should not direct all one's desires for indriya priti. Kamasya na indriya priti. Indriya priti means the demands of the senses. The senses are all demanding. Give me this, give me that. It is something like a man married to five wives. Can you imagine the condition of such a man? One wife is pulling his hand this side. Come on, give me this ornament. Another wife is pulling this hand. Come on, I told you to get saris so many days ago. One wife is telling, don't look at both of them. Look at me. What happened to your bungalow, I asked you. Another wife is giving him a big kick on his chest and asking him, the rascal, you neglected me completely. Like that, every one of them is demanding so many things. In the same way, our bodily senses are also demanding so much. Tongue is demanding, give me palatable foodstuffs. And then when you eat, the stomach wants more and more. And then after you eat, then your throat is very thirsty. And after you fulfill the needs of the tongue and the belly and the throat and everything, then after that, your bodily limbs become very strong. And then one gets such desire to enjoy. And in this way, we can go on saying how the eyes, the nose, the tongue, and the ears, and the skin, they all are demanding all the time. So here he says, kamasya na indriya pritir. When the senses are demanding like that, don't go on fulfilling these demands. Give them whatever is only meant as a quota for them. Do not give beyond. Rabu jivete yavata, earn as much as is required for your survival. I was once going in the train, one man told me, sir, I have no time for my spiritual life. I am so busy in my job. How do you say, you are always saying, chant Hare Krishna, how will I get time? Then I asked him, how many hours do you work? Then he said, morning I go at 7 o'clock and night I come at 12. He said, so you have to work so hard. Then he said, maybe I can suggest you, that instead of working so hard, you just work from morning 8 to evening 5. Then he said, then I will get only 20,000, he said. And how much are you getting now? I said, now I am earning between 1 lakh to 1.25. Then he said, how much is your family expenditure? Oh, that will be some 5,000 to 10,000, he said. Then why should you earn so much? He said, actually, no, I don't want to work so much, but my wife has seen my brother. And she's always telling me, see, your brother has so much money, and you have no money. So go out, work and come. Then I understood what is his problem. So people actually work far more than they actually need. Labo jivete yavata means whatever is required for one sustenance, if one earns that much, it is enough. So this person actually could work for 8 hours a day and be very satisfied with his family. But he was earning 1 lakh, 2 lakh per month. But which he went on accumulating, he even put the money in the Swiss bank, which he will never be able to experience in his life. It will just remain there. Even his sons may not come to know the Swiss code. He will just remain with his bank forever. So in this way, people want to accumulate more and more. So, prayers means concentrating only on short-term goals of life. That means thinking, like somebody was asking me, I'm not interested in going back to Godhead. I'm not interested in Krishna and all these things. Now my goal is only this. As a student, I want to only study and I want to get marks. As a student, it is wonderful. You study and you get marks. It's certainly important. At the same time, you cannot neglect your prime duty of life. Parallelly, you have to balance both the things. Shishirada Kanjari Bhagavan ki, Jagasundar Bhagavan ki, Srila Prabhupad ki. In reality, We are not just bodies, we are the Atma. In reality, we are pure spirit souls. And the body is only temporary. Your situation as a student, as an engineering student in a particular college, is temporary. Isn't it? It's just temporary. And at the end of your life, all these regulations are going to be dissolved. It's finished. And you're going to occupy another body. So intelligence is to take care of both, not become lazy in spiritual life, and not become passionately working hard only for the short-term goals and forgetting the eternal goal, eternal resting place. Just like a bird that is wandering all over here and there, in the sky, he doesn't know where is his resting place. His resting place is actually the nest. Similarly, we all are suffering in this world, and the Shastras clearly say that if you really want to know the resting place, it is the feet of the Lord. Only by devotional service you can achieve your resting place. So how can we start that? How can we give it up and go on with the short-term goals? On one hand, some people become lazy in spiritual life. They don't want to do spiritual life. Bhaktivinoda tells a story that two men, they were lying in a house and they were so lazy. They were lazy bumps. They didn't want to even move from their bed. And somehow or other, at one time the house was set on fire. The entire house was on fire. And one of the lazy fellows, he found little heat coming on one side of his body. And was wondering, where is this heat coming from? So he just made a statement to other person. BB, he said. BB means back burning. The other person, he was so lazy, he also didn't want to even utter one word. He simply said, MA, he said. MA means move aside. So in this way, they were just speaking codes and just not even moving from the place. And the fire gradually swallowed them. In the same way, people, this material world is compared to a place which is like a forest fire. Why it is compared to forest fire? At the least expected moment, just like in a forest, two bamboo sticks they upgrade and the fire is set up immediately. In the same way, in this world, quarrels come in our life at the least expected moment. And there are so many types of sufferings constantly coming one after other. You can see that. Everyone here, you all try to meditate and find out in your own life what kind of sufferings have come and what are the things coming and what may come in the future. We can even expect what may come. So we all know sufferings are coming, but what we are trying to do is just put an end to the sufferings by one after other attacking them and trying to tackle them here. But the source is somewhere else. We have to go to the root and find out who is supplying the sufferings. It's like one after other somebody is sending arrows upon you. One after other. You may be trying to throw away one by one. But you need to find out who is throwing. Where is the root? Where are they coming from? The scriptures tell us the root cause of our suffering is our unwillingness to accept the authority of God. The root of sin is deliberate disobedience to the laws of God by disregarding his proprietorship. This is the definition actually. The root of sin is deliberate disobedience to God. Simple definition. How? By disregarding his proprietorship. We have not accepted God in our life for so many lifetimes. And now, again we are continuing our sufferings, but we don't know where are they coming from. So, if you are in tamoguna and laziness, this material world is going to devour us because it's like a forest fire, gradually. And if you are in rajoguna, you are very attached to things in the material world. So much so, that we get caught up in these prayers. We don't want to even ever think about prayers. Even if some good devotee comes and tells you how to chant Hare Krishna, how to become free from the clutches of birth and death, how to understand God, how to achieve true peace, you are not at all interested, no interest. Because you are just focusing on holding on to the things that you have passionately. You want only immediate things to be fulfilled. Just like if you are in a bus and you have your suitcase, you have your luggage, and all of a sudden, it is found that there is a time bomb in the bus and it is going to explode. And there are only about some 120 seconds or something like that, say 2 minutes left. What will all the people do? Everyone will try to get out of the bus, isn't it? Or if the bus is passing through a bridge and the bridge is about to break now, people will want to get out of the bus and as achieve a safe platform, is it not? So they won't die. So at that time, what will you do? Will you get out of the bus or will you hold on to your luggage? Of course, in your bag you may have a calculator, or you may have all your very valuable belongings. Tell me, will you hold on to them or will you get out of the bus? Which is more important? Getting out of the bus. If you get out, your father will get another calculator for you. No problem, isn't it? Certainly you will do it. He can get 10 calculators for you, but if you are lost, you will be crying lifelong. Isn't it? So you know my loss is more important. Similarly, for the spirit soul, getting out of this world and achieving the kingdom of God is also very important. But if you are very passionate and you focus only on the short-term goals, then you will be lost in this material world. There are many boys, I see, they come to Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, they show some enthusiasm. They come for the programs, they chant one round or two rounds. And very soon, after 3-4 months, we find them absconding. Where are they gone? They are gone with the suitcase. They have got lost in the bus inside. They could not get out. Because they are attached to the things of the world and they think, sir, first I will finish my engineering first. After that I will try to become devotee. Then you do your engineering. And by the time you finish engineering, a job is awaiting you in the company, which will make you work foaming in the mouth. Practically 12 to 15 hours a day you may have to work. And then you go for the job, you tell, oh, now I have no time, let me become stable in my job. When I get a permanent job, then I will come to temple regularly. That will take just 2 years, you know. And then you work for 1.5 years or so, and the company sends you to America for 3 years. And when you go to America, your spiritual acumen becomes practically blunt. Because America is a place of sense gratification, and you completely forget your spiritual goals. And gradually you become very degraded there. By the time you come back, you are spiritually dull. You have no interest at all. And you may come back only to get married, that's all. So parents might have arranged a marriage and you get married, and then what next? Then you have children. Then somebody calls you to temple, you say, oh, now I can't tell you how busy am I. You just come and see, do you want to know my schedule, how busy am I? So you will tell people like that. And then in this way you become very busy throughout your life. You have no time at all. This is simply passion. Because of passion. One who is in Rajoguna or in Tamoguna, he is either passionate for the short-term goals or he is dull to take to spiritual life by being trapped by the things of Tamoguna like that. So we have to gradually ascend to the Sattvaguna, mode of goodness, where one can understand, one can see the long-term goal also. So Brahmana is in which mode? Mode of Sattvaguna. He is in mode of goodness. He can see that by doing this, I will get the short-term goal immediately fulfilled. By doing that, I will get the long-term goal. He knows both, but he learns to strike a wonderful balance between the two. It's not that one has to leave all his duties to father, mother, society, everything and just and look for when will I go back to Godhead, when am I going to go. It's not like that. You cannot just leave everything aside. It is not possible also. Even in Varnashrama Dharma, Brahman, somebody was asking this question, that if we become interested in Krishna consciousness, that means we will give up our duty, we will not do anything. I will not agree with this understanding. You know why? Because every one of us is inclined to do a particular type of work. Arjuna was inclined to fight. He was a Kshatriya. And he told Krishna, Krishna, when I see my relatives and friends, no, I would not like to fight with them. Let me just go to the forest, or let me take a begging bowl and become a beggar, house to house. I don't want to fight with all my relatives. Arjuna was crying. And Krishna said, you fool, you cannot do that. You are trying to escape from your sadharma of fighting. Even if you take a begging bowl and go from house to house and beg, if somebody tells you, get lost from here, then you immediately take your sword in hand. What did you say? So your Kshatriya propensity will come immediately. Because you are a Kshatriya, the propensity cannot be lost. You may externally pose as a Brahmana begging from house to house, but then your innate nature is there in you as a Kshatriya. So he said, why not act on the platform of a Kshatriya for my pleasure? Krishna asked. And then Arjuna understood, yes, what Krishna says is true. Similarly, you are an engineer. Just because you have become interested in Krishna, it's not that you are going to leave everything and become go to the other side. It's impossible. Unless you have inherently the quality of a renunciate, which is there coming from your birth. which may be coming because of the previous lifetime. Such a quality is coming. She must have been so inclined and interested right from your birth, like that. Then, actually you are supposed to be a saint, but you are actually taking the duplicate role of, another role of an engineer actually. You are not supposed to be an engineer at all. Somehow or other you came there. Only then you can go back to the role of a saint. Then it is possible. So nobody needs to be afraid that by practicing Krishna consciousness, I may leave everything and become a sadhu. It's not like that. You have the potential of an engineer. So you have to work. You will be working and you will be earning. You will fulfill your duties. But as I said, if we are focusing only on the short-term goals and forget the long-term goal, then we make our life like the life of animals. Either we become dull and dumbfound, or we become passionate in working simply for earning money. Today in the modern times, the only goal of life is money and sex. That's all. People cannot see anything beyond. And even these two things are achieved after a tremendous competition. As you see, even these two things are achieved after a tremendous competition. Today everywhere people are running here, there, finding out how can I compete with others and stabilize my life. Is it not? This competition has been brought about only because people have focused on these two things, money and sex life, without focusing their attention on God. In management also, they use a term called as sharpening the saw. In time management also they use this term, sharpening the saw. It's very important for us to know. There was a rich man, he employed a woodcutter for cutting a tree. First he gave him a new saw, and this man went to the forest and he cut one tree. And on the second day, this man went and he cut two trees. So the rich man very much appreciated that you are a very hard-working man. For the same given time, you have cut two trees now. Wonderful. And third day he went and he got three trees. So this way, on the fifth day, he had cut five trees. And this owner was so happy with his servant. And he said, wonderful, congratulations. And the fellow went on the sixth day. And again, when he was cutting, he could cut only four trees. And on the seventh day, he could cut only three trees. In this way, he was becoming weaker. And then, on the tenth day, he hardly could cut one, half. He could not even finish one. He came back to the owner and said, I don't know what has happened to me. I am putting the same endeavor. I am working so hard. Somehow, I am not able to cut the trees nowadays. Then the owner said, you have forgotten to sharpen the saw. That's a very important thing to do. Just like if you are writing with a pencil, you may say, I am very busy writing with a pencil, don't disturb me. But if someone comes and tells you, okay, take a little time off for sharpening the pencil. You may say, no, don't trouble me. I want to continue writing. If I wait and sharpen the pencil, then so much of time will be wasted. Is it intelligence? Of course, some amount of time delay is wasted, but by spending that time, you become far more efficient than when you would write blankly. Isn't it? You would write blankly. The same way, if this man had taken the little bit of time to sharpen the saw, then his efficiency would have increased more. In the same way, if you are passionately running here and there, simply to earn money more and more and more, gradually you become blunt. Your senses become blunt. You simply become like a zombie. Zombie means like a machine. Your life becomes like a machine. And then you speak like a machine, act like a machine, and you lose emotions with people. And in the house, if you see, in many leading cities, there is a father zombie, mother zombie, children zombie, all are zombies. Like that. They walk like a machine. They come to the house, they remove their pants, they put another dress, and they sit in front of television, and they see television together. They don't even speak with each other. And you ask them, who is your neighbor? They don't even know. They don't know their neighbor. That's how they are leading the life. So life becomes like a machine. And even in material life, they are not happy. What is because spiritual life? Spiritual life happiness is another thing. Even in material life, they become like a machine. So this is because of continuous engagement in material consciousness. One becomes completely dumbfound. Like that. So, one should, as I told you, sharpening the saw, sharpening the pencil, on an everyday basis, we should take out little time to focus on the Shreyas. Chanting Hare Krishna mantra for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour in a day. And you should reserve this time for your Shreyas activity. There was a very great king called as Katvanga. And this king, he was helping all the demigods in their fight against the demons for several years. And demigods ultimately won. And they were so happy with Katvanga Raja. And Katvanga was a great devotee. Although he was helping the demigods in doing all this, he always set aside some time for his Shreyas, for going back to the kingdom of God, and he was already Krishna conscious. And at one time the demigods asked him, "Now the war is over, everything is over, my dear Katvanga Raja, we are very happy with you. We want to offer you some gift. Tell us, what do you want?" Katvanga did not want anything, but he asked one question. "Please tell me how much more time I have in this world. When am I going to die?" So the demigods saw his horoscope and other things, and they said, "Oh, you are sorry, you have only got a few moments to die. Now, very soon you are going to die now, anytime." When Katvanga heard this, immediately he closed his eyes and he absorbed himself in thoughts of Krishna, thoughts of God, and immediately he went back to the kingdom of God. He said, "Katvanga nama Rajarishi, Matyaita Nuhayishah, Muhurtat Sarva Mutsujya, Katvanga Bayam Harim." He said, Muhurtat means at the time of death, Muhurtat Sarva Mutsujya, he could immediately detach himself from everything. Katvanga Bayam Harim. He went to the lotus feet of Lord Hari, whose feet is said to be Abhaya, which is free from all fear. So this Katvanga Raja was very intelligent. Although he was doing his kingly duties, just imagine how busy the king would be. As students, you all are so busy. Just imagine how much busy the Prime Minister of India must be. He has no time, 24 hours are not enough for him. Prime Ministers and kings, they hardly get to sleep a few hours a day. But still, Katvanga was so intelligent that he knew that if I go on working as a king in this world, and if I die one day, then I will not know my destination in the next life. I may become a dog or a cat. So let me also give some time for the Shreyas. So he gave some time, and in this way he was not an ordinary Raja, he was a Raja Rishi. Such people are called as Raja Rishis. So he can be a student Rishi also. So if a student is a devotee, he can be a student Rishi like Raja Rishi. So he was a Raja also, at the same time internally he was a Rishi also. So like Arjuna is called as a Raja Rishi, Yudhishthira is called as a Raja Rishi, Parikshit, Janaka, they are all Raja Rishis. It's not that, as somebody said, you know, because they became interested in Krishna consciousness, they gave up everything and they became Shravananda devotees and they joined this khan. It's not like that. They were executing the duty as a king. Janaka Maharaj was a king, he had wife, he had children. Even Arjuna had wife and children. They were doing their duties as a king. At the same time, they were also precious like this. This should be one's intelligence. How to balance between the short-term goals, at the same time focus on long-term goals. As students, your preferred duty is to study. If you don't study, not only is it a great disservice to your father and mother, it is a far more greater disservice to ISKCON. You know why? You may be surprised. The reason is, all the other people, your friends, they know pretty well that you have started chanting Hare Krishna. Now if you get poor marks, this is a great chance for them to ridicule you. They will say, "See, ever since this fellow became a Hare Krishna, he got poor marks in his studies." They will say like that. Then all of them will curse ISKCON in a chorus. So we will also get bad name, and you also get bad name. And when they ridicule you, it is intolerable. You feel so pained. But on the other hand, if you study very nicely, take care of your prescribed duties and get a high score, then that brings glory to ISKCON also. If people come and ask you, "How did you get this great score?" You can say, "By chanting Hare Krishna." Wonderful, I also want to chant Hare Krishna. And they will also say, and they will also join you and become devotees. So, doing one's prescribed duty is also very important. Taking care of one's studies and fulfilling that duty is also very important as students. But no one should say that I am so concerned about my prescribed duty that I have no time to chant. That means you are again lost in the whirlpool of Maya. You should do your prescribed duties as like studies or something. At the same time, you should give adequate time for spiritual life also. At least minimum spiritual life one should do, chanting some fixed number of rounds every day and coming in the assembly of devotees. At the same time, also taking care that one is studying nicely. Sometimes students, they are unable to make decisions. Like sometimes I will tell you two extremes. One student who says, oh, nowadays you just see my result, I got 5 down. That means, no, I should not go to these classes. I have no time. Let me first study and finish off all this and then let me think of Hare Krishna. Then he gets into studies and he never becomes a devotee at all. On the other hand, sometimes a boy, he spends so much time in preaching to others, he will just go to one atheist and left and right and center he will be arguing with him how God exists. And he will probably argue for 6 or 8 hours with him. And this way he may spend time with so many people that he will forget his prescribed duty of studies. So what happens? He also gets 5 marks. So you should learn to intelligently balance both. How to balance shares and prayers. So both can go hand in hand and ultimately you can become successful in both the things. Maybe one or two questions which are not answered, I'll tell you. How do we know that our soul will be satisfied? Actually, for the body, there is sukha. And for the mind, there is shanti. And for the soul, there is ananda. So these are 3 different things. The body, the sukha of the body, pleasure, is superficial. It is very short-lived. It comes for some time and it goes away. Like eat a gulab jamun, till it gets down the throat, that's all. At this point, your taste is gone. You need to put it in tongue. When it gets down the throat, you don't know where the taste is gone, it's finished. Only the small portion, the moving portion of the mouth. As long as it is touching it, then you feel some kind of taste. This is the kind of sukh we get with the body. But the shanti we get in the mind is suddenly little deeper. So when we get some kind of peace. But the ananda that you get with the soul is so deep and such an experience. Is explained in the scriptures how one feels. Just like a man who is very hungry for eating food. If he puts 1 or 2 or 3 morsels of food into his mouth, what happens? First of all, he gets a taste in the tongue, and then his belly is gradually filled up, he feels satisfaction. And thirdly, he gets strength. Isn't it? He gets strength by which he can do action, he gets energy. In the same way, when you chant Hare Krishna mantra, how do you know that you are advancing in spiritual life? You will get taste. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You will see that the taste is increasing more and more. After finishing one round, you will feel how nice it will be if I can chant one more round. So you want to chant more. At the same time, you get satisfied means, that means whatever God has allotted to you as a quota, you become satisfied. And I would like to tell you that it's not that you lose your ambitions just because you are satisfied. Certainly every one of you can have your ambitions. You want to become a businessman, or you want to go to America, you want to do this, do that. Have your ambitions, but while fulfilling those ambitions, don't forget Krishna. That is very important. So one feels satisfaction with whatever God gives mercifully and is grateful for it. That is satisfaction. And then by chanting the Mahamantra, he gets the bal or the strength to preach Krishna consciousness to others boldly, without any fear, or without any fear of ridicule, like that. So this way one can know that the soul is satisfied. Why not be satisfied with degree? Materialistic people appear to be satisfied. Yes, many materialistic people may appear to be satisfied. In fact, they give a big smile, as you see many people, to laugh on the television. In fact, when you see the Americans, they appear to be very happy externally. But this is simply a show off which they have learned in some kind of public relations course. You know, if you go to hotels or some places, they have put a beautiful receptionist, man or woman, very nicely dressed. And they may be very morose and, you know, frowning at somebody, but as soon as you go, immediately they smile, you put a big smile in their face. Please come, like that, very sweetly they talk and they welcome you. And then as soon as you go through the door to other place, immediately their face becomes small. And then they'll be frowning at somebody. So they may make a show of happiness, but the happiness that materialistic people experience is very short-lived. And many a times, we assume that they are happy. That's our problem. Just like if you are going ahead of a house, and you see a man has a big bungalow, and he has cars standing outside, 4 or 5 cars, and you think, oh, he must be very happy. You assume yourself. But then you go inside and see, poor fellow, he may have leprosy, or he may have diabetes, he cannot even eat sweet. know, he is old and invalid. He may be the owner of the house, but he cannot even move from one room to another room. God is used to being the owner of the house. Many times we imagine that people are happy. You know, why do we imagine that people are happy? Because the soul wants some justification to go to the direction of sense gratification. He thinks he is happy, he is happy, he is happy, he is happy. I am the only person, because I am devotee, I am not happy. Like that the mind convinces you and tells you, if you also go there, you can also be happy. This is simply a trick of the mind. Don't hear the mind. You hear from devotees. Devotees tell you that the long-term happiness is awaiting you. And by sincerely practicing, one can achieve the lasting happiness. Don't get carried away by the direction given by the mind. If God is perfect, why our senses are imperfect? Why only the senses? There are many bad qualities in this world. So many bad qualities we see in this world amongst people, and so many bad things we see. Like somebody was asking, why did God create tobacco? Somebody was asking. Similarly, many imperfect things we can see in this world. This can be understood with one simple example. As long as you are seeing the sun, you don't see any shadow. When you turn your face away from the sun, then you will see the shadow. Similarly, as long as you are Krishna conscious, looking towards God, there is no imperfection. Your vision is perfect. As far as Atma Drik, one can see one's Atma clearly, if you are Krishna conscious. But you turn your face away from God, then you see all kinds of imperfections in the world. So a devotee of the Lord is said to have perfect vision of the reality, because he has become Krishna conscious. And he is remaining in the presence of Krishna. So for him, there are no impurities, there is no imperfection, even while being in this world. That, for those souls who have become Bahirmukh, who have turned their face away, as you turn your face away from the sun, you see the shadow. So nearly all the bad qualities in this world are seen because of that only. And this world is certainly a place of imperfection. In fact, this world is a condemned place, a special place created for those souls who wanted to be independent of Krishna. That means the souls wanted a kingdom of God without God. So God has given, okay, go to the world and you try to enjoy yourself. So it is certainly a world of many, many shortcomings and imperfections and bad qualities, undoubtedly. That is because you have turned your face away from God. But if you again turn towards God, you can become free from all these imperfections. Like, as a devotee, we may have imperfect eyes, imperfect ears and all these things. But then by hearing from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita, you get a perfect understanding, right? So don't put faith in your imperfect senses. Simply seeing with the eyes is not believing. Like now, his Prime Minister of India is standing there at the doorstep. And if I am not aware of who is the Prime Minister of India or what is his glory, if I don't know, if I have not seen him before, he may be standing there and yet I may not give him respect. I am seeing with my own eyes. But if someone comes and tells me, oh, Prime Minister has come, he is standing at the doorstep. And by hearing from authority, I can know the truth. Then I will also stand up and I will respect them. Isn't it? So how do we know knowledge about somebody or something? Not by seeing with eyes, but by hearing. Similarly, perfect knowledge can be achieved by hearing. So we don't have to worry at all. There may be imperfection in the world, because it's a world created for the envious souls. So let us be satisfied with the perfect knowledge coming from the disappointed line. Lastly, there is an important question. In material life, you aspire for more and more. In spiritual life also, you aspire more and more. You compare it. And about spiritual misery. It is said happiness is followed by misery, and there is spiritual misery. In spiritual life, when you aspire for more and more, do you know what are you trying to do? You are just trying to regain your lost consciousness. That's all. You are not acquiring anything new in spiritual life. Just like a red hot coal that is covered with ashes. If you are removing the ashes, you are exposing the red hot coal, that's all. Similarly, Krishna consciousness is a dormant love that is present in the heart of every living being. By working hard in spiritual life more and more, you are just uncovering it. And at one point of time, all of us will uncover that Krishna consciousness that is now residing in our heart. So aspiring to advance in spiritual life more and more is certainly not wrong. Of course, in spiritual life, devotees never try to put off another person. They don't try, oh, he is advancing better than me, let me pull him down. They don't do that. They know ultimately everyone is going to become Krishna conscious. Devotees only become happy when they see other devotees advancing more and more in spiritual life. And as regards to spiritual misery or anxiety, there is spiritual bliss and there is spiritual anxiety also. Like Mother Yashoda is in anxiety, whether Krishna ate mud, isn't it, in spiritual world also. Similarly, gopis are in great anxiety, when will Lord Krishna come back to Vrindavan again? And Nakula was going to visit Krishna, so he was also constantly hankering for Krishna. The beauty of spiritual hankering is that it leads to bliss. The spiritual hankering and spiritual bliss both lead to bliss. Because in the spiritual sky, the name Krishna and the person Krishna are non-different. In the material world, when you say water, the substance water and the water are two different things. If I say water, 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 will my thirst be quenched? Certainly not. But in spiritual world, when you say Krishna, within that word Krishna, Krishna is immediately present. That is why it is said by Leela Smaran and the gopis of Vrindavan, they were perceiving the presence of Krishna far more than when Krishna was actually present in Vrindavan. Although Krishna was away from Vrindavan, by remembering Krishna's pastimes, the gopis were feeling his presence far more than when Krishna was actually present. How is it happening? Because Krishna's name, Krishna's remembrance, and Krishna's qualities, they all are non-different. So, in spiritual life, hankering means immediately one experiences a great amount of bliss. Now, coming to material life, if you see, material pleasure, is it leading to pleasure? No. Material pleasure leads to suffering. You can see, as Krishna explains, Ehi sam spasada bhoga dukkha yoni eva te. Material pleasure is yadda ragre amritamiva pariname vishamiva. In the beginning it appears like pleasure, but later it leads to suffering. Many, many examples can be given. Some people think if I drink liquor, I get some kick. If you drink liquor, it leads to misery later. Or you smoke a cigarette, you feel, now your nerves have been stretched and you are very brisk, but then again you become dull and it leads to some cancer. Or you take some gutka, your teeth is gone. You get bronchitis. So in this way, yadda dagre amritamiva. In the beginning there is pleasure, but the same pleasure ultimately leads you to suffering at the end. And what about suffering of the world? Needless to say, suffering is suffering only in this world. Full of suffering. So try to understand this point. It's a very deep philosophy. Material pleasure and material suffering both lead to suffering. And spiritual pleasure and spiritual anxiety both lead to bliss. You understand this? So in spiritual life, even if there is anxiety, that only increases the ecstasy. Like when Krishna in Vrindavan wanted to kill Kaliya. The Kaliya was a very big serpent, hundreds of hoods, hundred-hooded serpent. So he was making the entire Yamuna poisonous. And Krishna climbed on a tree and jumped off the tree, dived into the Yamuna. And he was enwrapped by the coils of Kaliya. And then the Yashoda Mata and all the Vidyavasis, they were all seeing Krishna, they were in so much anxiety. They were crying, everyone wanted to jump into Yamuna. There was only one person who was smiling. Who was it? Balaram. Because Balaram is the expansion of Krishna and he knew pretty well that nobody can do anything to Krishna. So he was smiling and he told them, don't worry, nothing will happen to Krishna. But they were all in great anxiety. Why did Krishna put them in anxiety? Why did Krishna wanted to cause them pain? He wanted to increase their love for him. Why? Just joking in that way. But then immediately Krishna expanded his body and the coils became loose and he climbed on the hoods of Kali and started dancing Bharatanatyam beautifully. And when they saw, then again they all became very happy again. So in spiritual world, Krishna may perform such pastimes to increase the love of his devotees. Like in Vrindavan once there was a heavy rains and Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill, and under the Govardhan hill all the Vrindavasis had taken shelter. And Krishna made this wonderful pastime so that all Vrindavasis can be very close to him and he can be constantly seeing them for 7 days and seven nights. So Lord makes such arrangements to increase the bliss of his devotees and increase the love. In spiritual world, Lord and his devotee are mutually serving each other and increasing their love. This is what is going on. So don't think that the spiritual anxiety is going to pain you. It never causes you any pain. Santosh Joshi very beautifully explained that point. That when devotees have anxiety, their anxiety is very justified because their anxiety has a center as Krishna. So that is something wonderful. So I'd like to stop here. And thank you very much for all of your patient hearing. And you all have come in a very big number today and increase our enthusiasm. So we request you to keep coming like this regularly every week for a few more weeks till your examination start, and take care of your prayers also. I don't say you should worry only about Krishna consciousness. Both are important. We certainly admit that our worldly duties are also important, but one should not forget one's prime duty. Two things are there: prime duty and secondary duty. So in this world, we all have got bodies, we have our prescribed duties to be fulfilled, but at the same time, we should very intelligently learn to take care of our eternal life also. And it is very much possible, and if you ever get bewildered in making decisions, you can approach your seniors and ask them, what should I do? How can I balance both? I'm finding it difficult. And they will give you guidance how to manage both. It's certainly possible. Hare Krishna. Announcements, Jagapati. Ready to go, sir?